I want to tell you three stories. The first story is set in 1927 in Mexico. A newly ordained priest had just celebrated his first Mass. As he was retiring to bed that night, the two older priests with whom he shared the presbytery told him to take the bedroom on the first floor. It was apparently an honor to sleep in the bedroom on the first floor, a mark of great respect, and this was, after all, a very special day in that young priest's life. Meanwhile, the two older priests settled down for the night in the downstairs rooms. That night, the soldiers came. It was the middle of a terrible persecution in Mexico, in which many lay people and priests were killed. When the soldiers broke down the door, the two older priests quickly realized what was happening and made as much noise as they could to alert the young priest upstairs so that he, at least, could escape. The soldiers shot and killed the two older priests and ran upstairs. They went into the upstairs bedroom. The young priest, who had a split second to make up his mind, had decided not to run away. They found him kneeling by his bed, and as they entered, he raised his arms and cried out, "Viva Cristo Rey! Long live Christ the King!" And they shot him and killed him. The second story I want to tell you is set in the year 2259, in the fictitious world of Babylon 5. In this enormous space station, all sorts of weird and wonderful aliens meet and mingle, and among them are the Dominican friars, who set up a priory in space on Babylon 5. One of the friars, Brother Edward, is a former serial killer who has had his mind wiped. That is, he has been given a new personality and recalls nothing of his former life. So, instead of being a brutal misogynist, he is now a placid man who enjoys carving what looks like origami figures out of crystal. The suggestion is, I suppose, that one must have a lobotomy first before one even considers joining the Dominicans. The families of Brother Edward's victims track him down, and they force Edward under torture to relive and remember his crimes. Edward has a chance to escape, but refuses it, wondering if he has the courage to stay with our Lord in Gethsemane, waiting for the ones who will kill you. Edward stays and is beaten and tortured to death. His killer, by the way, is caught and receives the punishment of having his mind wiped, and, surprise, surprise, he joins the Dominicans. My third story is set in the year 30, early April, in Jerusalem. It is the story we read in the Gospel of Jesus being interrogated by Pontius Pilate, the prefect of the province of Judea. The charge against Jesus is that he is a king, a claim which he acknowledges and clarifies, saying, "You say that I am a king, for this I was born, and for this I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." The point of all three stories I've told you is not about martyrdom, or about waiting patiently for martyrdom, or even about confessing one's faith courageously in the face of death. The point of all three stories is the kingship of Christ, that Jesus is the King of the cosmos, and, as Scripture says, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The kingship of Christ is something that cannot be resisted. Every enemy shall be placed under his feet, including the last enemy, death. Christ the King is ruler of the whole universe, which implies his utter sovereignty over us. We first glimpse Jesus' kingship when he is brought before Pilate and bears witness to the truth. Everything in human history points to this moment, to the response of humans to God and God's answer to humanity. Everything comes to a head in the throne of Christ, crowned with thorns, and yet the King of glory. And this throne is the cross. The cross is the proof of the truth that the Father loves human beings so much that he permits even this to happen. What this shows us is that evil is not, and never will be, bad enough to overcome the love of God for us. We are bought and redeemed at a price, the precious blood of Christ our King. That is why the kingship of Christ is not a simple formula of words. It is a reality that we must either accept or reject in our lives. We accept the kingship of Christ by bearing witness to the truth and by refusing to lie, because all lies belong to Satan, the prince and father of lies. We accept and show the kingship of Christ by forgiving those who injure us, not because they deserve forgiveness, but because we deserve to be the sort of people who forgive, the subjects of Christ the King. Nothing can resist Christ the King. Nothing is irredeemable. Nothing is truly lost unless it really and truly wants to be lost. This is the truth implicit in all three stories I told you, that hatred and violence cannot triumph, that everything was made through and for Jesus, and that he is the universal King. Christ is King, yesterday, today, and forever. Amen.